Well, hello out there in Radio Land. It's time for another Adam the Computer Guy mid-morning, late morning, or whatever you choose to listen. Coffee break, tea break, or in my case, sometimes a diet Dr. Pepper break. And we bring to you our official political commentator, presidentologist, Big Apple transplant, now living in Florida, Dr. Ronald L. Feynman, for another adventure.
Good morning. How are you doing today, Adam?
Fairly outstanding, Ron. Thank you. We have so much to talk about, and since I don't want to talk too fast, I talk too fast anyway.
Yes, we were not on for a couple of weeks, so a lot has happened.
We only have about 44 minutes, so we'll go ahead and see what we can do, and if we can get to everything, which I imagine will be the prognosis, I guess that's the word, we'll just wait till next week and keep people at the edge of their seats. First, on a serious note, Ron, certainly what I would call the most significant event in my lifetime, very tragic event. We just celebrated the 21st anniversary. We will never forget. You're a native of New York. I have relatives in New York. My sister, my brother-in-law, my nephew, my descendants are mostly from the Big Apple. But no matter where you're from, tragic events that occurred just over 21 years ago, we'll never forget. They've changed.
It was the most stunning event since Pearl Harbor, and of course, not too many people are alive that remember Pearl Harbor. Some, but not that many, you know.
It's changed the course of history forever, changed what happens when you go to an airport. I'm not sure what to say. I remember the day, and I guess what's surreal is I'm thinking about how old I will be 21 years from now. Approximately the age when my dad passed away. I've already well past the age my mom passed away. And that's kind of the perspective. And you know, the 21 years, they've gone by. And as I told you before we went on the air, people that were born on 9/11 of 2001 are now legal drinkers and smokers. I'm not encouraging people to drink and smoke. I'm just putting it in perspective that 21 in the United States is essentially when you become a full-fledged adult. And people that were born on that date or now slightly after are full-fledged adults.
Yeah, I have students who, most of them, you know, were not born, of course, by that date. So for them, it's just history, you know.
With myself, Ron, I was born just after the Kennedy assassination, another huge event and tragic event. So that's kind of the perspective. And people may have been saying the same thing. You know, now I'm sitting here, well, not going to talk about my age, but we know how old I am and how old I'll almost be in 21 years from now. But I guess that's kind of how we see it. Ron, you were a young adult when Kennedy
was
assassinated.
Well, not a young adult. I was in my 50s.
When Kennedy was assassinated?
Oh, when Kennedy was, yeah. Well, then I was, let's see, I was 19 years old.
Right,
yeah,
young adult. So that's what I'm saying is you are kind of...
I thought you were talking about September 11th.
No, it's okay.
No, it's true. I was not, yeah. I was just short of 19. Yeah, I was... That, you know, and also the Challenger disaster in 1986.
Yeah, that I remember.
September 11th. And I would add January 6th, 2021. Those are the most shocking events, not in that order, but I'm just saying those would be the most shocking events in my lifetime.
Yeah, it's fascinating, Ron, again, as a historian and myself, just as an American, you know, my background being science, but I'm an American. That's first and foremost what I am. We look at the perspective of people that were born after a certain event in the United States, and oftentimes they were tragic events. In my case, yeah, just after the Kennedy assassination, you have students, most of which were not alive on 9/11/01, and just how time passes, and we take a look at our own lives and things that have occurred, and let's try to learn from our mistakes and mourn the people that had to lose their life.
I was going to say it's tragic that I heard that there's still a lot of people dying from effects of 9/11. You know, they've gotten cancer from the horrible air conditions that developed after it. So there's still people dying every day. You know,
right?
And affected by 9/11.
Yeah, and again, the effects they're indefinite. And one of the terrorist events occurred in Western Pennsylvania, not far from Marion. So, in a regional aspect, it does affect us. But again, as Americans, all we can do is we can cry a little. We can think about it. We can analyze, and we can realize we're on the same team. One thing we noticed, Ron, is just after the event, people came together. Didn't matter if you were Republican or Democrat, black or white, young or old, rich or poor. We all pretty much held hands as Americans and loved our great country. I'd like to see more of that, and I'm sure you would also.
Yeah, it'd be nice if we had more bipartisanship, but it's not happening right now. Yeah.
Also, since we last talked, the Queen of England, in her late 90s, passed away, and we now have King Charles III. I guess from a historical perspective, Ron, I know you're American historian, but certainly you know a little bit and more about world history. My understanding is King Charles I and King Charles II were not very good people. And, you know, I mean, I'm no expert, but from what I hear, King Charles is a pretty good guy. He's got a great sense of humor. You know, love his accent.
He's a very, very liberal guy on things like the environment, which I think is good. But supposedly, he will not be doing much of that because the Queen never made comments on anything. So I think it's going to have an effect on him. Well, maybe it will. Maybe he'll just revolutionize the position and be somewhat controversial.
Yeah, I mean, there will be changes. I don't think that the Queen would want him to rule the same way. I don't think Obama wants President Biden to be a clone. And I don't think he is, whether that's good or bad. That's another topic, but actually, honestly, when we're seeing...
Of course, there's going to be those that are going to think, imagine it could have been Queen Diana, you know, if only... Yeah. He hadn't been killed and they hadn't been divorced, you know. I've seen people commenting on that, yeah.
But you've probably heard, Ron, about King Charles I and II not being, to put it mildly, not being very good people, and that King Charles III may want to use a different name. I guess a regal name is the term. What do you think about?
I didn't quite get what you said there. So,
well, that,
say that again?
King Charles I and King Charles II.
Charles I was beheaded.
Yeah.
And Charles II was not very popular either. Now, it's true. There was a lot of you know, the name is not exactly a great name. Actually.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's thinking maybe he should just use a different name. I mean, like popes use a different name when they ascend to the papacy.
Yeah, but apparently keeping his name.
But maybe it's a case where, you know, Charles is a...
Will be King William V.
Yeah, it's a common name.
And his grandson will be... King George VII, the first since George VI, the one that we rebelled against 250 years ago.
Yeah, so maybe King Charles can make the name Charles good again.
Yes. It's not a great name historically, no, it isn't.
But, yeah, we'll find out. And, interestingly, he's in his 70s now. He just, you know, as I've grown
73.
Up.
73. Actually, he'll be 74 in November. So he's almost 74.
Goodness
yeah.
sakes, he's almost your.
He's not going to have a 70-year reign. That we can be sure of. We can be betting money on that.
Yeah, and some people have said that he should surrender the crown to his son William, who's about 40. Charles has been waiting so long, and
his whole life. Nobody's ever been waiting that long to be king in any country, you know.
But. I guess it's interesting.
Only one monarch has served longer. Louis XIV in France, when he was 5, became king and died at 77. So he was 72 years in the 17th century, but into the 18th century. It's the only one that lasted longer, but he was also an absolute monarch.
But yeah, the royal family, and they have a ceremonial role. They don't really govern. The prime minister governs, and there's a new prime minister in the UK, so that's another story altogether. But they are fascinating, and we don't have a royal family. We've talked about how the Bushes, and they're kind of like our pseudo-royal family.
So well-regarded, you know. There's nobody really much, except those that don't want a monarchy, of course. But basically, she's universally loved, and it's really nice, you know. And it's nice that we have someone that we can all unite around, you know.
And it's just fascinating, the British culture, and how, despite the very bloody Revolutionary War and War of 1812, we're now really good friends with the UK. I think we admire them in many ways. And
I want to point out also, the British, of course, who control Canada, we signed agreements with them about the Great Lakes and the U.S.-Canadian boundary when it was still British-controlled, Canada. And those agreements are more than 200 years old, so I tell my students that the old saying is treaties are made to be broken, but these agreements right after the World War of 1812 are still lasting more than 200 years now.
Right. So It is a fascinating study, I guess, in world pop culture, and we'll just see what happens with King Charles III. Kind of a good ring to it. Let's see, we got so many topics here. Talking to Dr. Ron Feinman here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, Adam Lepp hosting this program. Let's turn to another person that you have an affinity for, who also has big ears, because we don't mind a little bit of joviality. And that would, of course, be former President Barack H. Obama and the official portrait. Now, Barack Obama himself said, "The portrait captures my gray hair and my big ears." So he is laughing with us.
Yes, and I think the portrait looks like a photograph, really. You know, it's really amazing, you know, with him.
I thought it was a good, good photo.
She has her arms showing, her powerful arms. And
some people
think it's not right to do that, but I think it's fine.
Obama talked about how it shows her grace, intelligence, and that she's fine. And then I think she rolled her eyes at that. As I was saying, Ron, I think the Michelle photo looks almost like a watercolor, like not quite designed to be as realistic, but you can tell it's she. And President Obama looks just like a photo. You'd think it was a photo.
Really, it's amazing to have a painting that looks like a photograph, but he really does with him.
It's an artistic style. We talk about her arms, and that I feel that Michelle would be the best former first lady to go to the gym with. I don't think they really captured the muscularity of her arms. Her arms are not, they're bigger than they're in the picture, and that she's kind of wearing this suggestive outfit, which I'm sure will have some detractors, but you know, if you got it, show it, Ron. I mean, she is in very good shape, and they both are there, and something,
Yeah, they're both very highly regarded, you know, they're very popular first couple. I think the most popular first couple since the Kennedys.
Right. Yeah, I mean, as I've said, Obama has grown on me, and I've improved my opinion of Michelle. I think the best thing about her is, I guess you probably heard this, one night she and the girls snuck out of the White House, because, you know, you're not really supposed to leave the White House when you're the first lady, snuck out, and they got a cup of coffee or an ice cream sundae somewhere, and no one really knew until she talked about it. So I think that's kind of cool. So I've kind of liked that side of her. Again, there are many issues I have with President Obama, but I do like that he's a great speaker and that he is in good shape and a good role model, the old-fashioned nuclear family. And again, quite a...
Some people have wondered if she would get into politics and run for president. People think she could win if she ran, but she has no interest, Michelle Obama.
Yeah, I don't think she...
to run. So, and then there's some who think she should be on the court, says the Supreme Court, or he should be on the Supreme Court, like William Howard Taft was, you know.
I think as a legal professor, obviously a judgeship is an obvious choice, but I think he's kind of enjoying his semi-retirement in Chicago. He's still in his early 60s, and he seems younger anyway. So I think he's just laying low for now and maybe make a decision on something sometime in the future. So multiple things have happened since we last talked, Ron. Last but not least, President Joseph Biden visited the fair city of Columbus to attend the groundbreaking ceremony of the Intel plant in the northeastern suburbs. And as I mentioned, I had to wash my hair, so I didn't attend. But it's always cool when the president comes to your hood. Of course, the traffic is an issue, but he definitely was there. And we'll see what happens in our computerized society, having an Intel plant in the nearby area, I would say, is a very positive step, and we'll see how that affects our economy, our employment, and all kinds of other good stuff. Anything to say, Ron, about President Biden attending the Buckeye State?
Well, he's been traveling quite a bit. I think it's very good. And it's funny, people say he's Sleepy Joe. He was a little bit less active, but boy, now he's fired up, you know, and he's calling the Republicans MAGA Republicans and semi-fascist, whether you like it or not. He's very aggressive, and he's really getting charged up. And in a way, it makes him look very different than he has looked, because he has that image of being Sleepy Joe. But I think he's come across much better. But I think what he's doing is very smart, you know, to be promoting infrastructure and traveling to Ohio and other states. And, of course, Things have turned around after it looked like he was dead in the water for a period of time because of Manchin and Sinema. Suddenly things turned around and he had a really great August, particularly. And now, actually, as many people say, if you add up his record for now 20 months, he actually has a pretty damn good record for 20 months. It's just it didn't happen much, a lot of it until recently. But every president, if you study them, there's going to be a period where they don't do as well or things don't work out as well. But what matters is the long run. And I think he looks much better now than he did 6 months ago. And the inflation seems to be a little less, and the gas prices are down. So it's a good sign.
I think he's getting feisty as he pushes birthday number 80. That's what I think it might be.
Well, that could be. He's going to be 80 in 2 months, yes.
Pretty crazy, Ron, to think a president of the United States, 80 years old. And
well, we have the Speaker of the House is over 80. The Senate Minority Leader McConnell's over 80. But I agree that for a president, it would be... Well, actually, if God forbid Donald Trump came back, he would be over 80 during the term. That's why it's still an issue about age. I don't know. It's a big problem. But he seems like he's doing fine right now. You know, that's all I can say. You know, nobody knows the future for sure with anybody. Doesn't mean because you're younger, you're going to live a long life. You know, nobody knows. So, but right now, he's doing very well.
Looking at my early adulthood, late childhood, Ronald Reagan elected president, and people said he'll be in his 70s at the end of the term.
Well, he was 70 within a few weeks, yes. And only Eisenhower had hit 70 his last 3 months in office before he left. And he had said, nobody my age should be running.
Yeah, and people said, is that too old? No, we have a president in his first term. He was going to be 80.
And yes.
Are people living longer? A little bit, but not that much longer. We're just taking a different look at...
But also, people that are in those kind of positions, it doesn't mean that you can overcome reality, but medical care is always great for people that are in government, so they get the best. Look at that. I hate to bring it up because I'm almost afraid to now after talking about the Queen so much, how she's 96 and then she dies. Jimmy Carter, October 1st, is 98, but a friend of mine said, stop talking about it. He might not make it to 100 if you keep on talking about
it.
But he is going to be 98 in just a couple of weeks.
I challenge Scott Spears, the interviewer to the stars, to interview the Queen of England, since she doesn't give interviews, but Phil Donahue doesn't, but he went to his penthouse in New York City and talked to him and taped it, so I don't see why the Queen wouldn't also allow such an interaction, but unfortunately it's not going to happen, but not for...
She was always non-political. She really avoided ever getting into controversy.
Not for lack of trying. But
yeah, but Charles, I think, might change that whole issue, you know.
Yeah, I hear, you know, he plays.
Even William is also a little more active than his son, you know.
He plays polo. I mean, he's not afraid to tell a joke. He's just a little more charismatic, and maybe we'll have King Charles III on with Scott Spears or sometime. Maybe the King Charles will just visit our studio. Who knows?
I think he probably will come to the United States at some point, yes.
I'll call Scott and challenge him to do that. I mean, he tried for months to get Geraldo Rivera on, and sure enough, he was on. So don't put it past him. Dr. Ron Fineman is here with me, Adam Lepp, on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, discussing the recent visit to Columbus, OH, by President Joseph Biden, discussing the passing of Queen Elizabeth, and also the Obama official portraits and remembering the events of September 11th, 2001. Ron is the publisher of the blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com. And if you don't read that blog every day like I do, well, please start doing it. Bookmark it. Type it in. His blogs typically take 2 to 3 minutes to read. And, you know, many times I read them and I say, I don't agree with that. Many times I read it and say, well, it has some validity, but also it's out there. And sometimes I come away learning something. It isn't always opinionated. Often he sprinkles his opinion in, but many times it's just a statement of facts and analysis. And you are encouraged to make your own opinions. or write your own blog.
Yeah, talking about that, I had this article a few days ago about women who are governors or running for governor. There's a lot of them, you know, in the Democratic Party, and it'll be interesting to see how many of these. I think it's a total of 12. Five are in office, three are nominees, and three are open seats. So actually, there's six nominees. It's quite a list, you know.
And we have Nan Whaley, who wants to be governor of Ohio. Personally, I think she's going to get defeated resoundingly.
Even with the abortion issue, huh?
Well, that's one thing where I agree with her, but that's about it.
But I'm thinking, I've written about this, and others have said the abortion issue is really making women and men who support women's rights coming out to register like crazy. And so The thought is that a lot of these governors and senators, or candidates that are trying to say, even rape or incest isn't an excuse, that it's going to be a lot of defeats. A lot of people are going to be beaten. Look at Sarah Palin. She lost out. Wow. Sarah Palin lost out.
As seems to be the case the last several years, I will go into the voting booth deciding which candidate repulses me the least. Let's put it that way. Governor Mike DeWine visited the Marion Popcorn Festival and saw some photos on social media. So he's getting out and about. And between the two, Ron, Nan Whaley has been more of a friend to the station. She's been on with Scott many times. And from time to time, Mike DeWine is on. So whether
you're not a Mike DeWine fan, I know that.
Yeah, well, as I said, it's a decision on my end which one repulses me the least, let's put it that way, and because I'm not a fan of either. I do like Mike DeWine's governmental experience. He's a professional politician. That's good and bad. He's knowledgeable.
Mid to late 70s,
yeah.
You know.
He's an excellent attorney. He is, I think, a part owner of a baseball team. That's kind of cool. Not the greatest public speaker. No charisma, but again, knowledgeable.
Oh, I didn't know he's owner of a minor league team?
I believe the family is part owner of a minor league team. I can get specifics if you wish, but he does love the state. Nan Whaley, yes, I agree with her on the big A issue. And, she and Mike DeWine are from the same part of the state, both from the Dayton area. In fact, she's the mayor of Dayton, Mike DeWine from the Dayton suburbs. So,
I learned something. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
About him. I mean, I knew about her, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's held almost every office you can here in Ohio. I thought as Attorney General he was excellent. That's a good position for him. But, you know what I think about his handling of the COVID situation. And he is he's no friend to the pro-choice community. And he's done some things on the left that I have not been pleased about. His stand on transgenders in sports is not one that I agree with. That's kind of a surprise there. So people call him a rhino. I don't really believe in political parties anyway. So as I mentioned, there are things I like about him on paper. That is his experience, his knowledge knowledge about the state. And I think as a man, he's a good man. But I wouldn't
debate that for what I know about him. He seems better than a lot of Republican governors. I would take him any day over our governor in Florida or the governor of Texas or the governor of South Dakota. They are just horrible, I think. He's not. I would agree.
Yeah, Kristi Noem, she's something else, and very easy on the eyes, though. I'll say that much.
But she, in a way, I think of her as a Sarah Palin type, in a way. Maybe a little smarter, but this whole thing she had come up with a photo, or I guess a painting, that showed Donald Trump being added to Mount Rushmore. That's crazy,
That would make a few waves, wouldn't it, my friends?
Yes, and I just can't see her. I think I just don't like her. And I don't like our governor or the Texas governor. And they're all having tough races, but they're probably going to win, yeah.
But either way, folks, we encourage you, even if, like myself, you are repulsed by many of the candidates, get out there and vote. If it's the lesser of evils, that's often the way politics is. And we have the mayor of Marion, Mr. Scott Schertzer, running for treasurer, following in Mary Ellen Withrow's footsteps, possibly. So we have some local impact on the election, a very moderate Democrat.
So he will not be the mayor anymore, no matter what?
My understanding is if he wins, I don't believe there's a plan to resign prior to the vote.
No.
That's
but if
my,
he gets it, he can't be both, so then he'll have to have a new mayor election, I guess. Then.
Yeah, maybe he'd want to be both, and maybe that would be kind of cool, but obviously one has to pick. I'm not sure he'll win. I may very well vote for him because, honestly, I think he's a decent mayor. He has some struggles like any mayor does, but that's not an easy job. And there, I do believe that he does have Marion's best interests in mind. He's been a great friend to the station also, and he's a very moderate, mayor moderate Democrat when it comes. And you would agree, Ron, attorney general, treasurer, regardless of party, I could care the less about the party. That is a job where you work for the people of the state, and you must be a moderate. And, you know, DeWine, traditionally being a conservative Republican, I didn't see his politics getting in the way when he was the attorney general, because he's a good, he's a smart lawyer. He knows Ohio.
Yeah. And he was the senator through the back, too.
Yeah, he's had pretty much every position.
Senate.
So
yeah.
That's how I take a look at these office holders.
I want to mention, in this state, in Florida, Charlie Crist, who's running now as the Democratic nominee for governor, was the Republican governor, and he was also attorney general, and he was also in Congress, and he was in other positions. So he's also had loads of experience, much like, you know, like your governor. But he's running against someone who has $132 million, I think, to spend. So it's going to be very hard to overcome Ron DeSantis.
People that change parties, Joe Lieberman being another one. What do you think about that, Ron? Does it mean that the party doesn't really have that much of a weight?
Joe Lieberman? Well, Joe Lieberman didn't change parties. Is that Joe Lieberman or? He didn't change parties. He became an independent when he lost the Democratic nomination.
Right. Because Bernie Sanders also was an independent.
He might run with John McCain, but that didn't happen.
Right. Okay. So, well, close. I mean, he was looking at, you know, running with a moderate Republican, and I would assume he would become a Republican then, but I guess you don't really have to be. You technically could be a different party than your
An independent in the Senate because he won against a Democrat who was further to the left and a Republican, so he stayed in the Senate for another term, but as a so-called independent Democrat. You know, a little like Bernie Sanders is an independent as well, and Angus King. Well, New England does that. New England has a lot of independent people, you know, as far as they don't necessarily follow party lines.
Yeah, maybe because it was part of the original 13 colonies in many cases that the independent attitude stays with them.
Also, the New England area was the area that was talking about rebelling against James Madison in the War of 1812. The Hartford Convention of 1814 talked about secession of the New England states. Didn't happen, but it was talked about, and it killed off the Federalist Party at that point. But, I mean, New Englanders tend to be, you know, the so-called Yankees, they call them, the New England Yankees, in a broad sense, tend to be very independent-minded, and they don't like to be pushed around by anybody.
I don't recall Charlie Crist, though, as being that moderate of a Republican. So has he changed his viewpoints?
I would say he was a moderate Republican. He, you know, he met with Obama when he was governor as a Republican. He got into trouble for it. And, you know, I would say that compared to the people after him, Scott and DeSantis, definitely more moderate. And I think even more moderate than Jeb Bush before him. I think he was someone that I found acceptable, although I didn't vote for him in 2006. But I thought he was acceptable. So I think he was always in the center, basically. But he was able to get in, but then he left the party and became an independent and then a Democrat.
Kind of seems like you have so many different levels of Republicans there, the fairly conservative one now, rather moderate.
Well, now it's mostly the MAGA Republicans and a small number of conservative Republicans like Liz Cheney, who have been repudiated by the party, and also Adam Kinzinger, you know. There aren't any real, they say rhinos, they really aren't no rhinos. I don't think that's the case. And there are no liberal Republicans, like we used to have Nelson Rockefeller and George Romney and William Scranton and people like that that were governors in the 60s and 70s. And some of the senators like Charles Percy, Mark Hatfield, they were moderates or even liberals, but that doesn't exist in the Republican Party anymore.
Yeah, as we've talked about, there's so much divisiveness, and you look at John Anderson, even John McCain, they don't.
John McCain was, I wouldn't call him, he was fairly moderate to some extent, yeah, and he was more independent in a way, yeah, he was. So was Mitt Romney in 2012, and now he certainly seems more independent because, you know, he's not one of the MAGA Republicans for sure.
Well, speaking of MAGA, one of your favorite topics, of course. Speaking with Dr. Ron Feinman here on The Talking Place, your blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, from September 11th. The Donald, not how much you love to talk about, DJT. Jake Tapper blunder, suggesting Biden invite Trump to attend Queen Elizabeth II's funeral. Ordinarily, it would not be unusual that former presidents be invited to state funerals of foreign leaders. CNN anchor Jake Tapper has created controversy with his suggestion that President Biden invite former President the Donald to attend Queen Elizabeth's funeral as part of the official U.S. delegation for Monday, September 19th. So what's up with that, Ron? Now, he works for CNN. They, you know, I call them the coronavirus news network.
But the point is that since Trump is still claiming that he, you know, that Joe Biden is not a legitimate president and incited the January 6th insurrection and is still promoting the idea that, you know, that the vote should be canceled or be revisited after almost 2 years, why in the world would anybody think that if Joe Biden was to invite him, even just as a gracious thing, I think I would say, Joe, you need to retire. That's insane. No, but he's not going to do it, and he's getting a lot of attack, Jake Tapper, because this is not a normal situation. You know, if you have the previous president who doesn't accept defeat, as every other president has who's lost re-election, I mean, come on, there's no reason to invite him, and he would end up probably becoming the center of attention, because how else can he go? And that's not what the purpose of the funeral is.
In considering how those debates went, I just can't imagine Biden and Trump being in the same room. That should be on the Comedy Channel. And this is a serious event.
In 2024, you mean, yeah. I still have a feeling that it's going to be different people completely. I don't know. We'll have to see. But concerned about having those two against each other. Of course, I'm for Joe, but really, in 82, I don't know. I just wish he had been elected in 16 and he was in a second term now. Then it would be a lot better, you know.
I mean, so, jokes aside,
yesterday Kamala Harris was interviewed on Meet the Press. She's vice president, and I suppose if something happened to Joe, he should become president. But otherwise, it's going to be a wide open race because, believe me, she's not going to. If he says he's not running, which I'm sure he is, then she's not going to get it automatically. It's going to have to be a real battle, and I'm not sure she would win it.
I mean, jokes aside, event like this, they need to conduct themselves diplomatically, and I can't see that happening with those two in the room together. I'm not sure that would be a very good idea.
You mean for debate, you're talking about?
I mean, to have Biden and Trump at the funeral.
Yeah, well, it's not going to happen because I'm sure he's not going to invite him, but Jake Tapper brought it up as an issue, which I don't think makes Jake Tapper look very good.
I think he's stirring a can of worms there. You and I can agree on that, Ron. Of course, people will make comparisons on world leaders and talked about Boris Johnson's hair. I think he goes to the same barber that Donald Trump does.
He actually looks quite a bit like him if you look.
Yeah.
He does resemble him a bit, a younger version.
Yeah, I just kind of wonder, are they maybe the same person? But, you know, jokes aside, they do have
thank
similar
goodness
hair.
He's gone. But I'm not so sure about Liz Truss. I don't know, but I've read about her, and just I'm not sure that she was the better choice over the other person who is a Hindu and from India, as far as heritage, born in the United Kingdom, but I think is Hindu. I'm not so sure that he wouldn't have been a better choice, but he was leading the struggle to get Johnson to resign, so I think the Conservative Party turned against him and backed Liz Truss. But I don't know. She's trying to be like a Margaret Thatcher, but I don't know. I don't think Margaret Thatcher was that great either. I don't know. It will be interesting to imagine the last thing that the Queen did was meet her as she became the new Prime Minister, and then 2 days later, she's gone. It's amazing timing, isn't it?
It's fascinating, and is it her last hurrah? I mean, we'd heard earlier that day that she was being hospitalized, and it was really sudden. I was eating lunch with
a
friend.
But that was Thursday. On Tuesday,
yeah.
She didn't look that great, but she did meet him and smile and shake a hand, you know, and that's the last time we saw her,
yeah.
You know?
I just saw at the TV at the restaurant that she'd passed away and was kind of shocked.
Yes.
You write also,
very much shocked.
Contrasts in Leadership, Queen Elizabeth II.
And 70 is, I was a little kid of seven at the time, you know, seven and a couple of months when she became queen. And, of course, you were born after. I mean, just think about it. Somebody being in office that long, it's unbelievable, you know? It'll never happen again with anybody.
Well, speaking of someone who'd like to be in office for a long time, you write Contrasts in Leadership, Queen Elizabeth and the Donald. Leadership, yes. Characteristics matter, whether ceremonial, such as the late Queen Elizabeth, or leaders with power and impact on the destiny of their nation, such as the Donald. So, what is the comparison, other than the fact that the Queen looks better wearing a crown? She has better hair.
Well, that said, I think any leader, whether it has real power or ceremonial, ideally should have character, decency, dignity, compassion, ethics, morals, sincerity, empathy, genuine nature. But we have too many people today, including a number of elected politicians, mostly Republicans, not all, but most of the people I think that are not very nice people are Republicans. There are a few Democrats. But, I mean, we live in a time when there's evil, nasty, uncaring, immoral, unethical, insincere leaders, and it really upsets me, and I think it does a lot of people. It turns people off to paying attention to public leadership.
Definitely very different. Of course, the roles are different. But you probably can agree, Ron, the Donald is envious of how long Queen Elizabeth was in power because he wants to serve a long time. Of course, he served only 4 years, but he might be back. We don't really know. I don't think Biden or Trump will be our next president. You know, I think it'll be DeSantis, but we'll find out.
A bit. But I worry about him. He's authoritarian oriented. I think he's more dangerous in a way than Trump because he's smarter. You know, he's a smarter person. I think he's arrogant in a way that Trump was, but not the same way. I just think he is a horrible thought, you know, to think that he would be in office because he's already doing things that I think that are being challenged in the courts, and he's gone off the deep end, I think, our governor here, Ron DeSantis. So I hope that he can be stopped and that somebody else ends up as the Republican nominee, but it's going to be a tough battle. And I think Liz Cheney may run, not that she'll be the nominee, but she could really possibly veer a lot of people away from the Republican Party and help the Democrats.
We talked about the women governors, and then we go to the state to our north, and Governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer, you know what I think about her? Again, we might agree on some
issues.
Beautiful
to look at.
Well, better looking than some other females in office. Nancy Pelosi,
but
for example.
If you look at an alternative who's also good looking, she is scary as hell, the alternative, with her viewpoints. You know, she's really extreme, and so is the one in Arizona that's running against, Katie Hobbs, who's running it. So, I mean, you have to consider what they believe, and these people are extremists.
Right. To what our friends to the state, to the north, Michigan, please do vote if you don't like either candidate, and I certainly don't. Vote for the one you're repulsed by the least, because one of them has to win. You have to vote for A or B. And it's not always easy, but it's something we as Americans don't have to do, but I think we should do. You write, this from a blog about a week ago, Democratic Party has a substantial number of women governors and women gubernatorial nominees who would ensure that abortion rights would be restored or kept as they are, despite the Supreme Court move against abortion rights in June. Laura Kelly of Kansas, Janet Mills of Maine, the aforementioned Gretchen Whitmer, Michelle Lujan Grisham of New Mexico, and Kathy Hochul of New York.
But Stacey Abrams is the one I'm really wondering whether she can win this time. You know, she's running in Georgia,
From Iowa, really cool sounding name, Deidre DeGeer. Kind of sounds like a DJ's name.
Yes.
Deidre DeGeer. So what do we know about her? I don't know much about her.
And Nellie Gorbea of Rhode Island, which is probably his favorite because Rhode Island tends to be blue. Yeah. Katie Hobbs, that's a tough race there. That's a scary race if the alternative choice wins, you know. Arizona's gone off the deep end anyway. They have a lot of election deniers running for all the offices. So they're becoming almost like a secessionist group there in Arizona if they win.
So you think that Stacey Abrams is going to win Georgia. You list the four that you think are going to win. But Governor Hochul, and she ascended to the office when the previous governor left office. You don't think she's going to win?
No, I didn't say that. I think she will win because New York tends to be blue. I don't think the Republicans can win the governorship. I really don't. And every poll indicates she will win. Yeah.
So you're giving the four most likely, but others are just possible.
Yeah.
Okay. So
there's no way to know, obviously. But if you go by polls, I think a lot of these women, the ones that are in office, I think will most likely will win. And a few of the others will who are running for the job. But the big one I'm worried about is Arizona because, my gosh, you know, it's just like in Michigan, the Republican woman that's running against the Democratic woman is really a lunatic, I think, in both cases. You know, it's very scary to think that they would be in charge because they're like authoritarian. And I guess I'd say it may sound sexist. An authoritarian woman might be worse than an authoritarian man because it's just not something we're accustomed to.
Yeah, we have the divisiveness. And we'll see how that projects at the polls. But again, folks, please do vote. Even if you aren't overly enthusiastic about the people, one of them has to win. So just think of which person you'd rather have in the office come inauguration time and make your decision accordingly. Just a few minutes.
I want to ask you what you think about Sarah Palin losing to Mary Peltola, an Alaska native. I was really surprised by that.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. She's very enigmatic, and there are things written about her that she isn't quite as conservative on some issues. You know, she isn't really the sharpest tool in the shed. She's nice to look at.
To say the least.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, coldest state, hottest governor, as they say. I always enjoyed that little saying. She can be a good speaker. I just wonder about her dedication to the job.
And I think she's lazy, yeah.
And I still question McCain really made a bad decision. I appreciate that he nominated a woman, but you know, first Alaska, not a state with a lot of votes. He could have made a better choice, and he
but
certainly.
There weren't too many women governors back then. They were Republican, though. That's the problem, you know. There are more women governors now generally than there's been in the past. You know, that was 15 years ago.
I think he was hoping to make history with a female vice president, and I appreciate that because, you know, we both.
Well, just like Walter Mondale hoped in 84, you know, when he picked his running mate, you know, but it didn't work. Nope.
Yeah, but, you know, the third time was the charm with respect to the female vice president.
But the thing is, this Mary Peltola now will be sworn in, I think it's just a couple of days from now. But the point is that she has to run in November again. Can you imagine if she ended up losing after being there for 2 months? It could happen. You know?
It certainly.
I don't think she will, but I think she has the edge.
It's possible. I mean, the political landscape right now, Ron, is just so crazy, so unstable. As my mama said, truth is stranger than fiction. Absolutely nothing surprises me anymore. So by no means would I feel like I would be in shock.
Yeah, I wanted to mention before we leave, Republican attacks on Social Security and Medicare are rising again, as I wrote on August 30th. And I mean, Rick Scott had lots of money for you know, he's a campaign, he runs the campaign for the Republican Senate nominees, and all the money seems to be gone. And I wonder, what has happened? Is there some kind of scandal or corruption here with Rick Scott, the former governor, who's now a senator, and actually, in my mind, competes with our governor, Ron DeSantis, says, who's more obnoxious? He might actually be worse, Scott, than DeSantis. But they both want to be president, and so does Marco Rubio, who I think has a real race. He's going to have a difficult time against Val Demings. He might actually lose.
Well, speaking of big ears, we have Marco Rubio.
And he's short. Well, at least Barack Obama is tall, right?
And I do recall he has a rather attractive wife who used to be a cheerleader. so that might help. She's obviously the pretty one between the two of them. And on that note, we will thank you,
and
folks.
Meanwhile, women and young people are registering to vote in record numbers, as I wrote on August 29th.
Yeah.
They are, and that's a good sign in theory, you know, we'll have to see.
Yeah, I say we encourage folks to vote. That's the American way. Doesn't matter if you don't like the candidates I like, but as I mentioned, Ron, most of the candidates I, if anything, am repulsed by, so I pick the one that I feel is going to do a better job, using the term better mildly. But there are candidates I'm enthusiastic about. I am kind of liking Scott Scherzer as the treasurer, but I'm going to, you know, look at the field first before making my decision, but yeah, like to root for the home team, and I do think he's a good politician, good man, good age, mid-50s approximately, so I think he's definitely up for the job. And last time we had a treasurer for Marion, that person did pretty well.
That's good.
And so maybe
it's good to have some from both parties, not everything dominated by one party.
Especially Ahmad, he's very moderate, and Marion being a city that leans rather Republican, and I think he's done a very good job working with both parties, and that means a lot to me as an American. So anyway, on that note, we thank you folks for listening to the Adam the Computer Guy mid-morning and late morning coffee break broadcast extravaganzas.
Thanks so much for having me on. It was a lot of fun.
Dr. Ronald L. Fineman, my guest presidentologist. And again, be sure to listen to the previous shows. He's been on hundreds of times between me and Scott and Glenn, but also read his blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com. I assure you it's 2 or 3 minutes of daily reading that your brain will thank you for.
Thanks.
Adam here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio.